Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. I'm Greg Hahn, Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. And with me is Adam Koons. Hi, Adam. Head of Trading, helps you with portfolio management. Okay, we're winding the year down.
Finish line.
I know, right? So it's funny because when we get to year end, it ends quicker than we expect, just because everybody starts to focus usually on going to a shopping mall to get their Christmas shopping done. But now I think the focus goes to online shopping. But it's a whirlwind to try to get everything done heading into the end of the year. So here we are. What is it? December 7th. So we've got a full week, but I think liquidity, I think it's going to start to...
Yeah, this is the last week I think we get full liquidity.
So in the fixed income side, what does new issuance look like?
So it's supposed to be a heavy week, $25 billion just on the corporate side. There's a decent amount of municipals, and then CLOs and CMBS are also going to have decent amount of issuance. So this is that kind of, like you said, year-end push.
Yeah,
to get your deal done.
So, and that's the one of the big stories is the issuance on the CLO side. Mm-hmm. So we've got just post COVID, a lot of leverage loans, a lot of unique structures out in the structured securities market, and the CLO is in it largely because when you're looking for investment returns, it's the one asset class that provides a better return given the quality ranking compared to other credit securities.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's, with regard to expectations for earnings next quarter. So we're going to close the quarter here on earnings pretty soon. What's fourth quarter going to look like for corporate America?
I mean, touched on this a little bit last week, but you're still looking at a 10% expected decline in year-over-year earnings. A big piece of that is the fact that just overall retail shopping and shopping in general is just going to be weaker. Yes, people are still buying things online, but as we've said, you know, still over 80% of shopping happens in a brick-and-mortar building, and that just isn't happening. You're seeing more and more shutdowns. California is moving to a more aggressive stance on shut down. So yeah, heading into the end of the year, you're not going to see a pickup in spending.
So these just from a valuation standpoint, when we look at the valuation in the equity market, it's almost, we've always talked about this as it's a tale of two markets. We've got the work at home technology market, which is, you know, the Zooms, the DocuSigns, the Pelotons,
Slack,
rock the world.
Yeah.
And then we've got the COVID affected industries, the restaurants, entertainment, gaming, airlines, travel, which is lagged. But when you look at some of the price performance, surprisingly, you go back to February pre-COVID levels, so there's been significant recovery in some of these shares. So when we look at the valuation of the market heading into 2021, the S&P is what, 3,600? And we've got a goofy earnings number for 2020. But if we look at what 2021 at 155 bucks on the S&P 500 puts that PE ratio at something like 23 times. Forward PE. If you look at 175, which I think is where Goldman Sachs has their number, you're closer to 21.5 times earnings. So the market is trading at arguably elevated levels.
Sure.
So it's going to be interesting to see how sensitive price performance is based on earnings. The other thing, and this is our longtime readers and our longtime listeners know this about us, is we tend, when we do investment outlooks and we do all of our risk modeling, our assumptions for expected returns tend to be on the conservative side.
Yep.
So we started last year, admittedly, we said that we thought that expected returns were going to be challenged. Low single digits for equities. We obviously did not predict a pandemic. And then the earnings, you know, this earnings season in a large part was impacted by not only the pandemic, but then by any government support or fiscal stimulus or monetary stimulus that helped to, you know, to move the needle.
Right.
So we've got that issue to deal with this next year. So I think it's fair to start out with the investment theme that expected returns on financial assets, especially when you look at the bond side and normalized, whatever normalized movements in interest rates
right.
are going to look like. So, so what's on your plate right now?
Well, just, I mean, kind of to that point, I mean, despite all of the volatility and all of the negativity of the economy this year, I mean, we've got markets that if you just went to sleep on January 1st and woke up today and looked at your portfolio, you'd say, that's a pretty good year.
Yeah.
And very surprising whether you're looking at fixed income or equities. But I mean, last week, all equity markets were up again. The Dow was up 1%. So that puts it at 6% year to date. The NASDAQ is now up 39% year to date. And the Russell has rebounded and is up 13% year to date. So when you're looking at these markets, it just, you know, you would never guess that we're still in a recession, both on an economic and on an earnings side. So yeah, from a valuation standpoint, it just seems like the equity markets are just pricing in everything that's going to come next year.
Yep. We talk about this, it's the intersection of the economic recovery with the vaccine.
Yep.
There's going to be a crossover because right now this economy is not firing on all cylinders because it's operating under social distancing and, you know, just this whatever second or third wave that we're dealing with. There's parts of this economy that are really, really hurting. At the same time, the market's discounting this vaccine. And we've got they're discounting a very optimistic scenario in terms of an economic recovery. Some of these industries are going to take years to come back. Our airline travel to get back to the levels that of the fourth quarter of 2019, it's going to take a long, long time. So some of these business models are being reshaped. So that impacts how we look at investment opportunities and how we're calculating projected earnings here. So what else do you...
The other thing, just a couple notes here. Last week, Salesforce announced they're going to buy Slack for $28 billion. That was a 40% premium over where the stock was trading. And really, this is just a way to try to compete with Microsoft. They've had so much success with Teams. Just this year, they've added 115 million users to Teams. So this is Salesforce's way of competing with Microsoft, but a very, very expensive price to pay for that. And then just on the IPO side and equities, we get Airbnb and DoorDash are expected to go public. Airbnb looks like it's going to be about a $42 billion valuation for a company that's not making any money. And DoorDash is going to be in a similar range. So like we were talking about the bond side, we're also seeing the equity side, people trying to get deals down here before the end of the year.
Yep. And then we talked about Tesla coming into the S&P 500. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time on that this last week in terms of portfolio structure and then investment strategies to help navigate that. One of the issues is like to ignore it is putting significant risk in the portfolio, right? But you're bringing a stock in that's trading at 150 PE. And so and it's got a lot of volatility around it. And it's going to impact volatility in that consumer discretionary sector as well as the S&P and its, you know, in its form. So what was the conclusion in investment committee this last week?
Well, really what it came down to is we went into the conversation talking about Tesla. The other side of that conversation was, okay, well, if we're not buying Tesla, what are we buying? And so we're also looking at the index of what we would have to overweight if we moved into an equal weight.
Yeah.
So at that point, it's really, do we want to own a higher proportion of
Tiffany?
Carnival cruise
Tiffany's.
So right now, I think we're still trying to work through that decision and how best to fit into the portfolio.
Hmm. Politics. We normally stay away from politics, and I think we should stay away from politics. Yeah. But the political landscape heading into 2021 as an investment theme, in last year's investment themes, politics, we really described it as the election. was going to impact the capital markets. And really, I think that the way that that's transcended the market is through this fiscal stimulus and the ability to for Congress to come together to do fiscal stimulus, or the speed bumps that they're hitting. From a political standpoint, I think we're going to see politics. We won't come together as a country immediately. Joe Biden's initiative, that's part of his platform, is to pull the country together. It remains to be seen what that looks like, how that happens.
Yeah.
In terms of the politics impacting the capital market, we're going to see it come through in foreign policy and things like what ends up happening with the trade policy with China.
Yep.
Which I think our base case, Adam, right now is more of the same.
That's my understanding as well.
And then Europe has its issues just dealing with Brexit and its coronavirus recovery, because the IMF numbers for Europe, I think, are -3% for next year.
That sounds right.
And then we've got Brexit coming in at the end of the year, and that's still surprising. That was sarcastic. So there is not a resolution for an orderly Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the market, market's discounted what it is. It is what it is. So
yeah.
I know the last issues that we were working through were the derivatives trading that's largely centered in London. Yeah. Has got to be moved over. The Europeans want it moved over into those European banks. So it's going to move to Frankfurt and Paris. So
yes.
We'll see what happens. So for this week, what are you looking at?
So really looking at our sector allocations and narrowing that down, both, I know we're talking about consumer discretionary, but it also holds true in financials. We've discussed, the overweight to Berkshire, which owns a large portion of Apple. And then on the technology side, just that overweight to all of those tech names, Microsoft, Apple, Google. On the fixed income side, really focused on trying to find any value whatsoever, with spreads at all-time tights, interest rates still relatively low, although we have had some increase in interest rates. I think just trying to find ways that we can diversify the portfolio a little bit, trying to get that idiosyncratic risk down in the portfolios, because to be honest with you, idea generation is really, really difficult. And in my opinion, when idea generation is difficult, you don't want to take any really large bets. So that's what I'm seeing this week.
Let me land the plane on this last issue. Heading into next year, we talk for a long, long time. We've talked about democracy and capitalism, and how our form of democracy competes globally with other forms of capitalism. I said our form of democracy. I meant our form of capitalism. Excuse me. How it competes with China, Russia, the Middle East, where you've got state-controlled entities. And I think this is going to be this next 10 years is going to continue. I think China's, you remember, we were heading into 2020, growth in China was already slowing, but their form of slowing is coming from 12% down to 6% growth.
Right.
So I think we're going to see China economic growth accelerate, and they've made no bones about it. They want to be a world leader alongside the U.S. and be dominant in technology and military. Mm-hmm. So everything that we're seeing would underscore that.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting to see how we're expecting a weaker dollar next year.
Yes.
So with that, we expect better investment opportunities overseas potentially.
Be,
right.
Yes.
So in our models, we've taken China out, and we've created a sleeve just for China so that we can isolate it out and pull it out of the emerging markets category. So, but really for for U.S. investors to diversify in China, I mean, it's a very difficult way to invest because so much of the market's not open to Western U.S. investors. So how that impacts our investment strategy over the next year is going to be interesting, I think so.
Yeah, and on top of that, with the risk, and now I think the risk is lower now that Biden's in there, but, there's still all this talk of delisting Chinese ADR, so.
Yeah, and that got through the House.
It did.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, it remains to be seen. That is one of the challenges that's always been a roadblock for us to invest, is we don't have transparency into their financials, and they don't hold themselves to an outside audit like we do in the United States. Nope. So they don't have that. So those numbers are always questionable. Well, with that, Adam, thank you for joining us this morning. And you guys listening, have a great week, and we'll talk to you through the week.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.